Let me share just a couple of announcements about some of our sick folks with you. Ray Hoover left this morning and went to the hospital, to the emergency room. They checked him and checked him into the hospital with some high blood pressure. He has surgery scheduled for Tuesday if they can get his blood pressure regulated. So keep him in your prayers. He's been having some difficulty with the blood pressure being high already, but they're concerned about that. Also learned that Nina Butterfield is home from the hospital. She's really at her daughter's house, and hopefully all will be going well, but keep her in your prayers as well. And so those are important folks for us. Okay, that screen is not on back there. It's really quite interesting. We're going to be looking at the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And so it's really quite interesting because we sing a lot of songs that really are related to Scripture, some of which come directly from Scripture. This would have been a good night for us to have our children sing, but we only have a couple of them back there, but we can sing the song still. We all know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And again, that's based on John 3:16. Or, He's got the whole world in His hands. Nice, good song that our young people sing. Or, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. Or maybe, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Savior he wanted to see. We could sing all of those wonderful songs. Or the one built on our text this evening. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the rock stood firm. And the foolish man built his house on the sand and the rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the rock went splash. Okay, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But that's a song that really is based on words of Jesus. Jesus himself sort of writes the song and somebody just puts it to music for us. It's interesting because we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount and we spent about 12 or 13 weeks looking at the Beatitudes, and I have spent about 10 weeks now on the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. That 25 to 30 minute sermon has taken us that long. This evening we're going to be looking at a little tiny section that is about 2 minutes long. And I'm going to get a whole sermon out of 2 minutes, okay? A sermon will last longer than 2 minutes. But really, when Jesus gave this part of the sermon, it probably lasted just a couple of minutes. The parables are really designed to call folks to faith. Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 with a parable. Probably the first parable that he tells is the wise man and the foolish man. That may be the very first parable of Jesus, which I think is interesting. He will tell that parable, and from then on, that's the way he teaches, is with parables. So we begin in chapter 7, and we're going to read together verses 21 through 23. Now, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus will introduce the parable by giving some significant teaching. A lot of people are going to claim to be disciples of Jesus, but their lives don't match his teaching. And so he says, you're going to claim it, but you really won't be it. They will not prove to be his disciples unless they will do what he says. Again, that's pretty true even in our culture. A lot of folks will call themselves Christians, but they won't live the Christian life. They'll use language that's foul language. They will live an immoral life. They'll be dishonest. They'll do all kinds of things that would be really contrary to what Jesus calls them to. And so Jesus here is calling for them to live out their life, to live out their faith. An oral confession of Jesus as Lord can mask an unrepentant heart. They can literally say it, yes, yes, you're my Lord, but they may not have repented and changed their lives. And because of that, they're not really his disciples. Many will say, we did wonderful things in your name. We accomplished wonderful, miraculous tasks. And Jesus will respond to them by saying, that's not enough. You missed the heart of the message. You missed what it's all about. Your lifestyle is what matters. You practice lawlessness. It's at that point that he gives us this little short parable. And it's again the one that we sing in the song, The Wise Man Built His House on the Rock. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, notice the link to what he's just said, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to the wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rains came and fell, and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on a rock. Here is a man who's going to build a house on a rock. He's going to build it on a firm foundation. And again, that's a delightful Sunday school song that we sing, The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock. That may soften the stark message that Jesus has in mind here. It does demonstrate Jesus' familiarity with building. You know, his daddy was a carpenter, and he's described as a carpenter himself. Why, isn't that Jesus, the carpenter, who's now teaching? And so he's building houses. By the way, I think when we think carpenter, we think stuff made out of wood. But we have a carpenter here who did a lot more than just wood. Because back then, most of the houses would have been stone houses, especially in Galilee, in Nazareth. If you look at the houses there, many of which are still standing from those early days, they were built out of bricks. And so he would have been a mason as well as a carpenter in terms of the work that he did. And so here's Jesus. He knows his father's trade, and so he's got this wonderful illustration he's going to be using. There's a fellow who's going to build a house. And he's going to build the house, and he's going to go down to a firm foundation. He's going to go down to solid rock and build the house on the solid rock so that it will stand. And again, every house looks good in good weather. You know, when the weather is good, every house looks good. But when it rains and you get leaks through the roof, you know you got a problem with the house. Here, when it rains and the floods come up and the storms come, the real danger is, will the house be standing? Jesus really calls for a decision. And he wants them to make a decision between the religious establishment and his message. In a very real way, he's saying, you're either with me or you're against me. You can choose which way you want to go. The word translated wise in our parable here is an interesting word. There's a word for wise that means wise thinking. It's the Greek word sophos. We get a sophist from it. All of those kind of words. This word is not that word, though. This is the word that is used in another parable. In fact, two other parables. Remember the parable about the 10 wise and the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins? The word wise there is the same word that's here used. There are 5 that planned ahead and 5 that didn't plan ahead. In another parable, Jesus tells a parable about this fellow who has been working for his master and has been sort of keeping some of the money for himself, and he's that dishonest steward. That's how we typically call it, the dishonest steward. And interestingly enough, his master praises him because he's been wise. He planned ahead. Because he knows he's going to be out of a job, and so he's going to try to make some friends, so when he's out of a job, they'll welcome him in and give him a meal, and he'll have a good place to stay, and he thinks he'll be safe. Jesus will go on to say that sometimes the folks in the world are wiser than, plan better than Christians, than believers. Because, you see, they think they know what they want, and they're out to get it, and they'll do whatever it takes to get it. But we claim we know what we want, but we don't act accordingly. So the wise man here is a man who plans ahead. He's not fooled by surface conditions. He probably moves up. He may move up to a plateau. It's really interesting. I really think the story is one that may have been told by Jesus about folks who are about a man who builds on a plateau. He has to go up higher to build so that he can be on this plateau where it's nice and firm down below, and he builds his house there, and so he'll build it there. he builds his house on a rock. It's interesting, when Luke tells this parable, he adjusts it to the building characteristics of Asia Minor and Greece. He says, not only does he build it on a rock, but he dug and laid a foundation on the rock. So he adjusts it to make it make sense for his audience. And he built his house on the ground, and the other one built his house on the ground without any foundation. He dug perhaps 10 feet deep below the surface sand to the bedrock, and there he establishes the foundation for his house. The rainy season comes, and the winds blow, and the house is secure because it's built on a firm foundation. Only the storms are going to show the quality of the man's work. It then brings us to the foolish man. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, the picture that I put up there is a picture of a wadi. Now, what in the world is a wadi? A wadi is a dry riverbed. And a wadi has rain, and it's a river during the rainy season, but the rest of the time it's perfectly flat. And a nice thing about it is it's perfectly flat, and you don't have to cut down any trees to build. You don't have to dig any place. It's already flat, and so you can just build your house right there. And so that's what he does. He builds his house on this perhaps dry riverbed. During most of the year, it will be flat and easily accessible. There are no obstacles. During the rainy season, though, November through January, it's going to be this raging river. And so he builds his house, and the rains come and the floods come, and off goes the house. And you can see it sort of floating away. This man built his house there. The rains came, and the wadi was filled with water. And since the house sat on sand with no real foundation, when the water rose and the winds blew, the house fell. Look at the rest of the story. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The last part of that, by the way, is emphatic. It fell with a great crash. You know, that's what we do with the kids when we're singing the song. It fell with a great crash, and down comes the house. It's a rather tragic ending to the story, and it's again, may not be the way that most of us would decide to conclude a sermon. That's the end of the sermon. Isn't that an interesting way to end a sermon? And the great was the fall of it. Its fall was great. And bang, that's the end of the sermon. The point, I think, is significant. Our lives are going to be filled with storms and winds and terrible things. We're going to face illness and financial difficulties and hardships and maybe some persecution. And the wise person plans ahead. He says, I need to live my life as Jesus tells me, and I'll be able to handle all of those things. The foolish man doesn't put into practice his faith. And so when those hardships come, he doesn't last long. Now, most of you know folks like that who have built their houses on that firm foundation. And they've gone through terrible, terrible situations. Bad health, financial difficulties, all kinds of things. And yet they stand firm as Christians. Aren't they wonderful folks? No matter how bad it gets, they stand firm. Then there are others who don't seem to last. They seem to be building a house, but they don't build one that's going to last. And so there's nothing there that is going to make a huge difference. And so Jesus is trying to move them get the point of his lesson. Right before it, he said, just saying, Lord, Lord, isn't enough. And now he uses this wonderful parable to try to drive home the message. The question to them was, would you reject the words of Jesus as the foundation for your life and choose instead the shallow sifting sands of the teaching of the false teachers around, of the scribes and the Pharisees? You're going to accept that? Or are you going to build it on what I've given you? Something that is firm. Eventually, the instability of their teaching will be revealed and some terrible, terrible things will happen. By the way, the text that we read a few moments ago is the ending of the first of the five dialogues, sermons that little sermons that Jesus gives in the book. And you'll notice it ends with that whole phrase, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he was teaching as one having authority and not as the scribes. Interestingly enough, the scribes in those days would say, Rabbi so-and-so says, and Rabbi so-and-so says, and Rabbi so-and-so says, and so they're giving you all these wonderful quotes from the rabbis. But Jesus basically says, here's what it means. Take it to heart. And so he drives it home, and they begin to get the message. We sometimes sing this song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, and I think that really is based on this kind of parable. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Do you see how that's related to the parable? I think the author of that song had in mind that parable. Because he talks about the difference between the sinking sand and the message that Jesus has for us. It's a wonderful little parable, short little parable with a saying of Jesus beforehand, some teaching of Jesus, and he uses the parable to drive home his message. And it's one I think we should take to heart as well. We need to build our houses on a firm foundation. If you do, you'll be able to stand the storms. If you don't, you won't. And so it's a call for us to live the Christian life. We're going to sing the song that John has in mind for us as an invitation song. And again, if you need to respond in any way to that invitation, now's a good time for you to do that. Let's stand and sing that song as John leads us.